Today we're going to look at a story we've already looked at once before, but there's something else here that I want you to notice. Here's the story now, Matthew 3, verse 13 and onward. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." There's a lot of fuel for really deep thought in this story. Why in the world would a sinless Jesus ask for baptism? Well, as we've already studied once before, Jesus was setting an example for the rest of us. If you want to know the right way to live your life, if you want a pattern for a better way to live, then take the life of Jesus and follow that. You can't possibly go wrong. But there's something else going on here that's also important to notice. Did Jesus personally need baptism? No. Do the rest of us need it? Absolutely. In fact, in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, there's some fairly pointed language that makes it clear that the rite of baptism is an indispensable part of your relationship with God. It says there, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." It connects it to salvation. So, what does that mean for somebody like the thief on the cross? A man who clearly didn't have the opportunity to step down off the cross for a baptism. And yet this guy had a personal promise from Jesus that he would undoubtedly be in the kingdom. I mean, wasn't baptism important for him too? Well, absolutely. But there's a principle in the Bible that teaches that God only holds people accountable for what's possible. He understands your circumstances. He understands your level of ability and your understanding. There was no conceivable way the thief could be baptized that day. But you see, Jesus had already lived the perfect life, and Jesus had been baptized. And when you come to Christ and accept what He's offering, you get His perfect record as a gift. I like the way one of my favorite Christian writers puts it. It's beautiful. Listen to this. "Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as He deserves. He was condemned for our sins in which He had no share, that we might be justified by His righteousness in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was His. With His stripes, we are healed." That thief couldn't be baptized, and so Jesus did it for him. Of course, I've known some people who use that as an excuse and put off doing what they know is right because they figure God'll just take care of it. In the book of James, chapter 4, God calls that a deliberate sin. And you know you can't fool God anyway. The point I want to make is this. I know people who obsess about trying to go back over their lives and find every single little thing they've ever done wrong and make it right. They're always worried that somehow they're going to miss a minor detail and exclude themselves from the kingdom of heaven. But that kind of living almost always leads to a fearful, joyless Christian experience. In a faith-based relationship, when you've taken your sinful life to God and asked for help, you've got to believe that the whole life of Christ has been put on your page in heaven's books. He lived the perfect life because you didn't. And His righteousness becomes yours by faith. Now, naturally, that's not a license to run out and sin, but it is a reason to smile, and it's a much better way to live.